right now. Okay, today's pistachio, very easy to find this online. You just type in Orod HaTorah Perek Vav, and we're in Pisgah number Chet. So you guys should try to have the text in front of you. I'll give you guys a few seconds to search for it. It's readily available online, Safari, whatnot. Perek Vav Pisgah Chet, beginning with the words Lifamim. So here we go. This is a great zichus for all of you who have joined. Not only is it great to see all your faces, Yonah. I haven't seen you in a while, Yonah. Hold on, aren't you in the army now or something?
I'm in college now.
You're in college now.
Yeah.
Where are you at this moment?
Right now, I'm at home. I'm in Bar Ilan in college.
In Bar Ilan, okay. Oh. Amazing. So I really believe that the Fum Tzara Agra, that the schar that you guys are getting for this chabura is greater than all the schar that you got for the chaburas throughout the year, because it was right there. You were in a Gan Eden, you were in your dorm rooms, and you just came to the Beis Medrash to hear some words of Torah, and there's more Mesiras Nefesh in this, and I think it's a tremendous zechus, and this zechus is dedicated to Klal Yisrael b'chol makom shehem. So here we go, the very big yesod coming up today. Lifamim ein adam yachol lomod mipnei shu mishtokek harbe l'tfila. Sometimes a person will find it difficult to learn. If you guys could just, mute your microphones until you have something to say. Is that Jack? Wow, how's it going, Jack?
How are you, Rabbi?
Wow.
Yeah, very good.
Oh, welcome, welcome. Okay, I'm sorry if there's someone I didn't notice. It's just we have a short time, and I'd like to get started. Lifamim en adam yachol lomod, mipnei shu mishtokek harbe letfila. Sometimes a person will experience difficulty learning Torah. He'll experience difficulty focusing because his neshama is thirsty for tefillah. Listen to this huge yesod coming up. The kol zman shelo hispalel adayin karaui haneshama tzmeya. And as long as his neshama hasn't experienced a real, genuine tefillah, so his neshama is now longing. His neshama feels that void that he hasn't really connected to God through tefillah lately. And as a result, says Rav Kook, that's going to manifest itself in difficulty in the Beis Medrash. Meaning a person could theoretically find it hard to learn, not because he's not into learning, per se. Not because he doesn't understand the chashivas of the learning. Or not because Gemara is hard for him. A person may be experiencing difficulties in Limud HaTorah because there's another channel of the soul, so to speak. There's another mode of connection that you are in need of. And that connection is through tefillah. That can be attained through tefillah. And if a person isn't davening properly, so that disconnect from God in tefillah will result in a difficulty in Limud HaTorah. Now, why is that? Why does Rav Kook see the two as so interrelated? So he explains with a mashal. V'domeh hadavar k'mi shetzameh harbe she'eno yachol le'echol ad asher yishteh t'chila lishbor tzma'o. This can be compared to someone who's dying of thirst. He's desperate. He hasn't drunk in hours and hours. He just finished, you know, some big sports game and he's been sweating and he needs that Sprite or Coke or water, whatever it is. And you offer the guy a hamburger, he could also be starving. You could really be hungry at that moment. You're also starving for dinner. But you don't even want to look at that hamburger. In fact, you look at that hamburger, you just think of putting that dry bread into your mouth, and it just disgusts you. Like, I can't do that now. First, I have to down that 1.5 liter bottle of Coke, or you know, in America, they're a little fatter, 2 liters, whatever. But I just have to down that bottle. And you're desperate. You're so thirsty for the fluids that the solid food just doesn't speak to you. Now, you could be hungry and you could be ready for your next meal, but because your body is feeling this dire need for fluids, so the food just that your body is pushing away that food. You're actually going to reject that food, which is good for you, and the food that your body really does need. But because there's a more pressing need, you're going to do everything to satisfy that thirst, to quench that thirst, before you continue to satiate yourself with food. So what's the nimshal? The nimshal is that the neshama also has these two needs. This is one of the fantastic chidushim that I have found in Rav Kook. Not that it's not in other authors, but I find it more, it's stressed much more in Rav Kook's writings, that in Avodas Hashem, our neshama has needs just like the body does. And just like the body was created with a teva, that it has drives, and in order to be successful, in order to function, the body has to meet those needs, and then it can go out and be successful. So too the neshama, in order for the neshama to shine, in order for each and every one of our neshamas to be successful in this world, and to bring some change in the world, and to shine God's light into the world, our neshama also has needs, it has demands, and our neshama knows how to clap on the table. And with a shout, our neshama knows how to say, I also have needs. The neshama knows how to say, what about me? Why are you focusing so much on the needs of the body? If I'm going to lead a successful life in this world in the short time that I have here, if I'm going to shine God's light into this world, I also need my needs have to be met. And Rav Kook now is introducing that the neshama has these two needs, or these two channels, these two worlds that it's constantly living in. And if the neshama feels a void in one or the other, it's going to be so off balance, it won't be able to function. So the neshama, on one hand, yes, is constantly looking for Divrei Torah. This is how it connects with God. Excuse me, but the neshama is also in need of tefillah. It has to feel that presence of God, that God's embrace. It has to feel that it speaks to God and God is there listening. And if the neshama isn't feeling, doesn't have the ability or the opportunity to quench that thirst for tefillah, so it's going to be so desperate for a genuine, real tefillah, just one real word with God, one shout out of Ribono Shel Olam. It's not going to be able to focus on learning. Now, I find this Piskan Rav Kook so fascinating because, you know, there's a lot of literature out there today, especially amongst the educational psychologists. You know, a kid who's not focusing in school, all these studies and medications and whatnot, and how to help people focus and attention spans. There's a lot of literature about this out there. And Rav Kook is saying, when it comes to Talmud Torah, we can't view it through the same lens as the scholarly world is viewing learning. And there's so many studies being done today about what a kid needs to be able to focus in school, right? His emotional needs have to be met. And if a kid is going through a difficult, you know, social life or personal issues at home, or chas v'shalom, if he's going through a divorce or some loss in the family, So the teacher will know, okay, so this kid needs to be catered to differently if I want to get him to sit down and be able to solve a math problem. That's out there. That in the academic world, that everyone knows about. My wife's a teacher, and you know, she'll right away get a WhatsApp about this kid who's going through a difficult time, deserves a phone call. We know very well how to create the emotional needs that our students need in order to learn, in order to be, you know, scholastically successful. But I think this is often overlooked. You know, how often does a Rebbe or educator or a parent look at a child who's having a difficult time in Gemara Shir and ask him or herself the following question? Maybe the kid isn't connecting to God through tefillah. How often does an educator or a parent ask that question? I'm telling you about myself. If I get a letter home from my son's fifth grade Gemara teacher, you know, that he's had a, you know, for the past few weeks, he's had a hard time concentrating. Will I first thing think about this? I probably will think another five or six issues going on. But this has to be, Rav Kook says, this has to be one of the things on our mind. The neshama can't connect with Limud HaTorah if the neshama isn't feeling a relationship with God. It's not going to want to listen to Dvar Hashem if it doesn't feel Kirvas Hashem. Rav Kook here is telling us that the two go hand in hand. The neshama is not going to want to sit down and learn about Shor Shenagach Es Hapara in 10th or 11th or 12th grade. That's not going to interest the high schooler if he doesn't feel that he has a relationship with the Nosein HaTorah who gave this message to man, who shared this with the Jewish people. Just pardon me one second. Okay, so very often we look at that kid in school who's not doing so well. He sits at the back of the Gemara Shir. Or I'm not just talking about high schools, in the yeshiva setting. The kid who's not really getting Shir, he's not really putting in the effort, he seems a little out of it. We right away, in our minds, we jump to what conclusion? Either the kid isn't really interested in learning, he's probably has some Yirah Shamayim issues, you know, he's never connected to learning. It's not interesting enough for him. He's not dedicated enough. But Rav Kook is teaching us that one of the things that has to be explored is the kid into davening. Because just like the food which is good for you is going to be rejected if you're dying for that drink. So too, if the neshama is desperate for a real, genuine tefillah, then it's not going to want the learning. Now look at Rav Kook's next line. This is a chiddush, al gabei chiddush. Hahargasha hazos. This feeling of the neshama, I can't learn if I don't have a relationship with the Nosein HaTorah. That feeling, mefutachasi, is more developed and more felt. Etzel misha nishmato gedola. The higher your soul is, the more, the loftier your soul is, the holier it is, so to speak. Vishoresh or tzadikim sharui b'socho. The more of a chelek of nishmas tzadikim that you have, whatever that means, the more of the light of a nishmas hatzadik you have, the more you're going to feel this feeling. Now think about what Rav Kook is telling us now. That means the higher your soul is, the more capable it is of connecting through tefillah, the harder it's going to be for you to learn without that tefillah. Meaning, a person whose soul isn't that developed, and he's not so in touch with his soul, and the light of the Nishmas HaTzadikim isn't shining into him. So he's going to be able to suppress that feeling. And it's not going to bother him. If he's not davening, okay, no big deal. I'm just going to learn because I'm expected to learn. My parents want me to learn. all this svarim talk about the importance of learning, so I'm going to do it. The lower soul is he's going to have an easier time suppressing that feeling of I'm not davening, and he's going to be more capable of throwing himself into the learning. It's davka the kid, the teenager, or the talmid hayeshiva. It's davka the talmid who has this spiritual light shining into him. He's more capable of that kesher with the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's more capable of that feeling of ahavas Hashem. And he really is in place. He is prepared and desires a real connection with the Borei Olam. He's going to have a harder time learning. Which means that, let's just use an example as a Rebbe. I'm a Rebbe in Yeshiva, and I'm teaching a group of guys. There's a lot of music going on in the background. All the kids are trying to learn new instruments now. So at least play on key. So let's, as a Rebbe, okay, if I look at my shiur on a very superficial level, what will I see? I'll see guys who are more motivated, guys who are a little less motivated. I mean, all of them are motivated. You know, they're, you know, degrees. So what will a Rebbe usually do in his mind? This is true of any Jewish educator and for sure of a parent. You know, just picture yourself as parents in just a few years from now. So the kid who's like taking down every single word that you're saying and he's drinking it all up, you usually assume, oh, he's got the lofty soul. You understand? Oh, he must be on a really high madrega. And the kid in the back on his phone, what do you think about him? You think about him, ah, he probably comes from like, you know, the stock he comes from. You know, his spiritual DNA is probably like from a lower madrega. He's not drawn as much to spiritual matters. You know, a parent will do this. A parent will say about a kid who's a little more into it, I have one son who's really into Kedusha, you know, and another son who's more into baseball or movies or whatever. But Rav Kook says, as I feel like he's asking us in this passage, says, peel away that outer surface, and what are you likely to reveal deep down? You might reveal that it's actually the opposite. Because the kid has such a lofty soul, and he's not feeling the tefillah experience, he doesn't feel God's embrace. He doesn't feel a connection with him. So he's thirsty. And because that thirst isn't being quenched, you know, think about in high school, think about the tefillah classes that you had. Like, did you have a real opportunity in high school to be ma'ayan and tefillah in a way that made you love it, that made you look forward to it? If a kid isn't getting that, if he just has to come to minyan, because that's the rule, you understand? And as a parent, if you just make your kids come to tefillah, because that's the rule, it might have worked. It worked with me when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I had to come to davening because my father said, that's it. So I was a good kid and I came. But kids today, I feel it's not that way. The kid today isn't going to respond to just, you have to be there because your father is saying so, because it's the school minyan. If that's all that it's about, there's going to be such a thirst inside to make tefillah a real experience. That what are you going to expect from the kid in a Gemara sheet? Why is the kid now going to, what interest does he have in being mefalpel about arba avos nezikin? You hear this, Vort? A person needs to feel a kirvas Hashem to want to learn his Torah. But if a person isn't feeling that in tefillah, he feels that God is distant from him. And then this no sein haTorah is foreign to him. And he doesn't even know. Like, God doesn't even know me. He probably doesn't even care what I have to say to him. So why should I care about what he's telling me? Hear this? This is incredibly deep. And sometimes it's dafka the rebellious ones. You know, how many times is there a rebellious kid in a family or in a neighborhood or even in a yeshiva that is just written off? Okay, so the kid is far away. He's a, you know, we call him far away. We call him, you know, sinful. He has tithes, whatever it is. Rav Kook says, though, often you'll peel away that outer layer and you will find that it's really dafka, his thirst for a real connection, that's not allowing him to learn. Just like the kid that has to down that 2-liter bottle of Coke after the ball game is not going to want to look at the hamburger. So you have to give the Talmud what he's thirsty for. We have to be sensitive to what the younger generation is thirsty for. I'm continuing. Ubichlalos, yebaze yesod hatfila kamo hachshara latorah. Therefore, we can say, says Rav Kook, that tefillah, in addition to having its own inherent importance, it also serves as a hachshara l'Torah. It really paves the way for a person to fall in love with Torah. These are not two worlds that can be separated. They're two needs of the neshama that must go hand in hand. Kishtiyas hamayim. Hamezinim bederech ezer, lahavir eschalke hamzonos bechol chalke haguf. Just like the fluids of the body are so important to transfer, to transport all the nutrients of our food throughout the body, so too the tefillah, what the tefillah allows us to do is the tefillah makes our Torah meaningful. Just like the fluids that we drink make the nutrients of our food meaningful, and they're the fluids of our body knows that they know how to translate the nutrients from our food into building blocks of our body. So too, the tefillah, the role of tefillah, in addition to it being an inherent mitzvah, but the tefillah also takes the Torah and makes it a meaningful experience. It is for this reason that I encourage Talmidim so much in their year in Israel. If you're not improving in tefillah just as much as you're improving in Torah, so the thirst that you're going to start to experience for a real tefillah is going to actually be a hindrance to your growth in Torah. The growth in both have to be at the same rate. If a person starts to take off in Torah, and he's getting into Rashi's and Tosos's and Rishonim and Achronim, but he's still rushing through his tefillah like he was doing in 10th and 11th grade, then there's going to be a voice inside of you saying, this is not for you. What are you doing here? What meaning does this have for you? And you may end up rejecting it, chas v'shalom, just because you don't have that real relationship through tefillah. V'im lo yihyu mezonosav nesunim, lo yo'ilu hamayim hama'avirim. Now Rav Kook completes this piska with the opposite chiddush. What about a person who's so into the religious experience and he loves tefillah so much and he goes out to the fields and he does his bodidus all day? And even when he's not doing tefillah, he's on the guitar and he's singing, and his whole life, he feels so close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, he just wants to dedicate his life to speaking to him. What Rav Kook says, what about that person? That person who's so engrossed in a world of tefillah, he feels that that's the only thing that's really important to him. So now Rav Kook says the flip chiddush. Im lo yihyu mezonosav nesunim. Going back to the mashal that we began with, if a person is only drinking all day, all he's doing is drinking. Im lo yihyu mezonosav nesunim. If you're not getting the nutrients, lo yo'ilu hamayim hama'avirim. What are those fluids going to do for you? If a person is drinking all day, but you don't have the building blocks of the body, you're not going to grow. So too in Avodas Hashem. If a person is too focused on tefillah, and everything about his life is just geared toward speaking to God and expressing yourself, and you know, the koach of tefillah and the koach of shira and negina, if that's all it is, if there are no mizonos, if there are no building blocks of the neshama, so what's the neshama gaining from all the mayim, from all that kirva, from that relationship? That's not the only thing that it's about. The neshama also needs to grow. The neshama needs the building blocks of growth, and that's what Torah is. Mesir ozno mishmoa Torah, gam tfiloso to'eva. Very charif words, pasuk and mishle. Shlomo HaMelech teaches us that he who turns away his ear from hearing words of Torah, so his tefillah is a to'eva. His tefillah is an abomination. Meaning the person who's only focused on tefillah, or even too focused on tefillah, and he's not engaged in limud Torah, that person is a to'eva. Because that person is really only in this for the feeling of kirva, the feeling of closeness. It's really not avodas Hashem. What it really is avodas atzmo. You're in it for yourself. You're in it for that warmth that you're feeling from God. You're in it for that feeling of closeness, for that kirva. It's more than that. Avodas Hashem needs to include a growth process. And that's where Talmud Torah comes in. So that's how these two go hand in hand. I think this piska is extremely eye-opening, because I think many times we judge a Talmud or a child. We judge where that neshama is holding just based on behavior, based on, you know, what, you know, the product that we see before our eyes. And I feel that Rav Kook is begging us to look deeper. And sometimes there are demands of the neshama that we, the educators, aren't doing enough to meet. So that's the message of today. Any questions? I didn't really pause for questions at any point. Did anyone have a comment or a question on this? Anybody? All right. Awesome. Great seeing you guys. I don't know if there'll be another shiur before the end of this month. Theoretically, unless there's still Limud going on next Thursday, I'll be in touch with Rav Waxman. I just want to give a bracha to each and every one of you, that the zechus of Torah should be at your homes. And just like B'yamei Kedem, just like way back when, the Ribono Shalom was poseach al batenu, because he saw the mesiris nefesh of the Jews at that time for avodas Hashem. And the mashchis passed over them, so too the zechus of Torah should protect you and your homes and your communities and ultimately the entire world. And we should see a refuah shlema b'mehera. We should hear good news from everybody. Yisher koach. Thank you so much for joining, everyone. Very, very much. Shkoyach,
Rabbi.
Great seeing you guys.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye. Good Shabbos.
Shabbos, Rabbi.